You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 31. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here, and for the second week in a row, John Brownstone joins me. Yay! Today we're tackling another big topic, trust. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at kaylalords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter, at kaylalords, or stalk John Brownstone at southernsirsplace.com. All links are in the show notes. Okay, so last week, episode 30, when we were talking about consent, we had such a good time just sort of talking to one another that when I started working on this week's show, episode 31, I went, well, I don't want to do it by myself. Oh, and for Ruth, fuck. Okay. You have to go listen to episode 30 if you haven't to know what that means. I don't usually do inside jokes, but I know a lot of you just giggled, and it's all good. So the topic that came to mind, there are several topics I want to discuss over the next few weeks. One is a big one on communication, and I'm hoping if I bat the baby Browns well enough, I can get John Brownstone back into the closet with me for
not
another.
The baby girl eyes.
I know. Oh, there might be a baby girl butt wiggle in that particular ask as well. Because there's some things on communication that have come up, some emails that I've received, and some, you know, good food for thought. But this week on my mind is trust. And let me tell you why. And it is so silly and it is so stupid. It's not really stupid. It's definitely silly. Okay. So no matter how much you trust one another, if you, prior to being with whoever you're with, had failed relationships where trust was an issue, you're going to have issues. You're going to have that baggage. You're going to have those memories. It's just the nature of it, right?
Bad tapes.
Bad tapes is what we call them. We have bad tapes playing in our head. So, the other day, in my vanilla life, under my vanilla name, I started for the first time Instagram. I've been kind of thinking about it, and I said to myself, I was like, self, just try it. If you don't like it, you delete your account, you move on with your life. So I get on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, look, my puppy. Oh, look, my green smoothie. And I'm telling Daddy about this later, and he says, oh, well, let me look you up on Instagram. And I immediately turn to him and go, you have Instagram? What
Her
do you mean?
Her head snapped around so fast, I thought it was going to spin a full 360 degrees.
Like Exorcist. Oh, yeah, I'll go Exorcist on somebody's ass. Don't worry. Anyway. And over the course of the, in those like 2 seconds when my head whipped around and I almost got whiplash, my first thought was, oh my gosh, how does he have a social media account I don't know about? Who's he talking to? Now, full disclosure, he has never given me any reason to doubt him. Not ever, 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 for never, ever. Okay. Second of all, he had told me about the Instagram account. I'd just forgotten.
I did a while back. I did a woodworking. What do you want to call it?
It was a class for charity.
A woodworking class for charity, and the gentleman has the gentleman who did it had an Instagram account, and he said the pictures would be posted there. So I wanted to see the pictures and show my baby girl the pictures.
This is where I'm cringing, y'all. So I should have remembered.
I signed up for Instagram.
But he never used it, clearly, because
that's the only
thing he did. But see, now I've roped him into Instagram, and of course I did. So, okay, some of you are going, really? It's a social media account, and you freaked out? Well, of course I freaked out, because we talk about everything, and for half a second, I thought there was something I didn't know. Now, for that to make a little bit more sense, you have to understand that I have trust issues, and I don't mean I have trust issues in the sense that I've been with him for 2 or 3 years now, and I still don't trust him. No, 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 no. My instinct is to think the worst of everybody, and that sounds really bad, and I know that sounds really bad. So it brought up this whole trust as a factor, because think about it, y'all. We cannot do anything we do in BDSM. I don't care if you're madly in love or not, if there's not trust. As a submissive, I put my mind and my body in his hands, say, I tell him I like this and I don't like that, and then I, in a way, step back from the control and let him have at it. In order to do that and to not hopefully ever be scarred in some awful way mentally or physically.
No, don't want to break your toys.
Don't break your toys. I have to trust him. So I thought, because it's such a core part of what we do, that we should start the conversation on it. Do I think we are going to cover every single thing about trust in one episode? Oh, none of y'all want to listen to that this long. Oh, shout out to Tour Princess. You may need to drive around the block for this show. You know me. You figured us out. We might talk for a while. Don't just think your drive to work is going to be enough for this. Right. I really do love shouting out to people. If you, like, talk to me about my podcast, you will possibly get mentioned on the show because I'm just weird that way. So, let's start with the very beginning.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so when we first met, it was through our mutual blogs.
Yes.
I had just gone through a gut-wrenching, awful, awful breakup with my very first dominant. And for any submissives out there who have never experienced that first breakup, if you're, you know, in a position where you could break up, you know, you're not in happily loving married life or whatever, it is the worst feeling I've ever experienced in my life, because it's not just the breakup of a person who's given their heart. It's the submissive losing their dominant, and it is, oh my God, it's awful. So I literally did not eat for 3 weeks, and to the point that my vanilla best friends were like, oh my God, I will buy you pizza if you'll just eat. You're scaring me. So we meet right before Christmas, like a week before Christmas, I found your blog, I think. We didn't talk, but...
No, we didn't talk. We had been...
We flirted through comments.
We had been commenting.
I didn't think we were flirting, but we were totally flirting.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were, though.
It was December 23rd.
That was our first email conversation.
Our first email.
Right, but we'd been commenting on each other's blogs
for a while.
Well, he did... y'all know Shelf on the Elf. Good Lord. Elf on the Shelf.
Yes.
He did a naughty Elf on the Shelf. It was awesome. Anyway, I think you need to resurrect that and bring that back. So, trust issues. A little bit about myself. I know I'm not the only one out there who feels this way. I don't trust anybody I don't know, okay? If we just meet, I'm not going to automatically assume you're a serial killer, although my hermit side will probably assume you're a serial killer. But I'm not giving you any information about me. And that's vanilla or kinky. I don't care what situation and scenario I meet somebody in. You don't get to know anything about me at first. I have to make sure you're at least not insane. Now, after our first couple of emails...
Unfortunately, she is the insane one.
I am. After our first couple of emails, I did open up. I was putting together my youngest son's tricycle that night, and I was emailing him pictures. Now, if that's not a level of newfound intimacy, I don't know what is, right?
True.
So clearly my instincts were telling me everything was okay, but... The thing I tell people, but I tell a lot of submissives to listen to your gut, I was not listening to that. I was listening to my head that said, you just got out of a bad relationship and you thought that guy was the one and he wigged out on you, and so you don't let another one close to you. Oh no, you just be miserable by yourself because that's the safest thing. Nobody's ever going to love you. I know some of y'all have thought that. And it's just safest if you don't let anybody in. And this man right here... got in. And so I want him to, because I do a lot of talking, I know y'all are shocked by that. I want him to talk about dealing with my trust issues, and then I'll probably, you know, interrupt to clarify what was really going on in my head. So how did you scale the walls? My walls are 6 feet high and 6 feet thick. When I put a wall up, ain't nobody getting through.
That's true. Wow.
Loaded question.
You're making me dig back in the archives here, you know.
Yeah, well, this is the most important relationship of your entire life. You must remember every single solitary detail, right?
Of course.
Yeah, right. I don't remember every detail. I couldn't remember the man told me he got an Instagram account like a month ago, so whatever.
See?
Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Okay.
Entertain the masses with how you scaled my walls. You climbed the highest mountains.
Well, I think the first thing, and this goes for any relationship, and it's even more so important in BDSM-DS relationships, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, early on, set up a level of consistency with our communications. You know, we emailed on a regular basis, And we texted throughout the day.
Eventually, we got to that point where we were mm-hmm. confident enough with one another, we would give each other our phone numbers.
Right. And, you know, but even with the emails, we, you know.
You were always there when you said you were going to be there. And that, made a difference. Yeah. That really did make a difference. I mean, mm-hmm. I hadn't had a relationship in my life, my whole life with somebody outside of my family, and like the two people outside of my family other than Daddy that I would say I trust, that had ever been consistent. I mean, every one of us, Dom or Sub, top, bottom, it doesn't matter. We have mm-hmm. all had those experiences mm-hmm. where we deal with people and we do what we say we're going to do, and then they just sort of fade away and they come back when they're ready and you're thinking, well, where the hell have you been? You know, it's been a week, it's mm-hmm. been a month, it's been whatever. I have a vanilla friend right now who said, well, I'm kind of seeing this guy and he dropped off the planet for like 7 months and he just messaged me and I guess I'm going out with him now. Yeah. And I said, what the hell are you doing? You know, because there's no consistency. Mm-hmm. The lack of consistency can usually tell you everything you need to know. So yes, consistency mm-hmm. to get, you know, it was a feeling of security I had.
Yeah, we had the emails during the day, at night, in the evening, even though there was a time difference between us.
Just a little, like an hour. I know some people do it like transcontinental kind of stuff. Oh, no, we didn't have to do all that.
But, you know, in the evening, we would chat.
And it was a while. I mean, it felt like a long time before I gave you my phone number, because that was another trust thing. I mean, mm-hmm. think about it. In the kinky world, the moment you give somebody something that gives them access to your vanilla self, that's huge, yeah. right? Now, I often say that most kinksters, it really is okay, because they don't want to be outed either, right?
Right.
But it's still there's still a level yeah. of trust that should take place.
One of the things I did do too with Kayla was, you know, in our talks, I did give you full disclosure.
You told me a lot of stuff, yeah.
I mean, you know, I told you where I live, where I work.
That's true. Oh, that's true. I mean, I had access. No, and that goes back to information, you know.
Yeah.
I had access to all the information I needed. Right. We would play this game because I wanted to get to know him. And at a certain point, you know, I'd convinced myself, oh, he's just a friend. He's just a friend. And then we tried to go the route of, oh, he's just going to sort of be a dominant, but it'll be sort of a discipline kind of level. There won't be any romance, there won't be any love, there certainly won't be any sex. Mm-hmm. Oh no, it won't be anything like that. It'll be this contract, and he will dominate me in the ways that I need, and that way we mm-hmm. scratch each other's itch there.
Right, because, yeah.
Yeah, but that was out the window. So I, you know,
well,
I thought...
I mean, but that was another way how things built, because, you know, yeah, you weren't looking for anybody at that time.
Oh, no.
But
oh,
yet, no. you kind of...
totally lying to myself the whole time.
Yeah.
Was so in love and didn't know it.
But, you know, in a way, you were kind of dipping your toes. And, you know, I look at it as it was a test. You know, because...
unintentional, but still a test.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Because, you know, one of the first things, you know, after we kind of became... comfortable with our communications, you were like, well, you know, could you help me with something?
Right. And, you know, and I think whether you're in person or long distance, I think whether you're married or not, you know, maybe you've been in a relationship and you're going from vanilla to kink. I know that happens a lot. I think that kind of makes sense, because mm-hmm. it's not just the trust you have in the other person as a person, you know, that they're a relatively decent human being and they're not going to out you on, you know, the 6 o'clock news or something
yeah.
or whatever. You also want to trust that the other person, if they're going to be your dominant or your submissive, will kind of do what they say they're going to do. And maybe
right.
what we had and we didn't even realize we had was almost a period of consideration, completely informal. I mean,
right.
unplanned, but it's like we were testing one another out.
I don't know if it was totally informal. I mean, you know.
We did have a contract.
I drew up a contract.
But we didn't call it a period of consideration.
No, we didn't. But.
We came up with an agreement that ended up being, in retrospect, a test.
Yeah.
Because had you flaked out on me and not followed through, oh, yeah, I'd have been like, oh, he's just another one of those. Yeah. And everybody listening, if you've ever had a previous relationship, now, for those of you who, like, got married right out of high school, kudos to you. Very happy for you. But the rest of us have gone through dating hell, okay? And some of us, you know, divorce hell. And so, if you were always a trusting person before, and if you are just a naturally trusting person, I admire you, because I can't imagine it, and I just think you kind of have to be brave to be that way. But anybody who's gone through at least one bad breakup where it was the other person who was the asshole, you're going to have some trust issues. And I know in the kink world, with the crazy subs and doms out there, I know it's, you know, the nutsos are on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. I'm sure you have trust issues. So yeah, I understand now why people do periods of consideration. It's sort of a formal thing. We did it accidentally, but we totally tested one another.
And you know, like I say, I gave her full disclosure of who I was, what I was.
Yeah,
and
I knew where he worked. I knew where he lived.
I even encouraged her to do a background check on me.
I didn't. I Googled him though. I found his Facebook, his vanilla Facebook, before I found anything else. Before he really even gave me much, I kind of started
checking him out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew stuff a little bit, what I could see, you know. He's savvy, clearly, about technology and being online. So he has his privacy settings fairly decent, at least at this point on Facebook. But I think I caught some times that he hadn't caught some of those privacy things. I'm like, oh, look, there's a picture.
When it was Lex, huh?
Oh, okay. Look, there's that. So yeah, I totally Googled him. I did all that. Don't even. I mean, at least we are in the time when you can Google somebody, you know. But you know, again, and it went back to your very first point about trust. It was consistency. We had our contract. We had our agreement. I wanted help. It's so funny. I wanted help losing weight. 3 years later, I still want help losing weight. But you did what you said you were going to do, which gave me comfort. Right. I did what I said I was going to do, which had to sort of make you feel a little bit better.
Yes.
You know, we were both at weird places in relationships at the time, so we weren't really looking for much of anything.
I was in the throes of a divorce.
And you had just ended another relationship prior to meeting me. Yeah, it was all kind of strange and weird, and and it's one of those things, and this is just relationship stuff and not really about trust. I say it a lot because I see it a lot. Most of us, we find the right person the moment we're, like, really, not even that we're not looking, we're actively saying, please go away. I don't want anybody in my life right now. My life is screwed up. And that, lo and behold, that's when they show up. But, you know, okay, so that was the beginning. That was building the trust in the beginning. And we all have our paths to that. I will tell you, especially for you non-trusting people, or, bless your hearts, the people who are trusting and you keep getting shit on, because I know that happens to trusting people. That's why I don't trust anybody. People will shit on you. I'm pretty sure that's not as cute as when I say fuck, so let's just throw that out there. Yeah. Fuck. Okay. That just might be the inside joke of the podcast, and you have to, like, absolutely be a list, you know, what's the word? I don't have words tonight.
A fan.
Thank you. Dedicated listener. That's
dedicated
what I was thinking. To know the inside joke. Okay. I've just totally digressed.
Yeah.
People are turning this off going, really? Would this bitch just, like, talk? Sorry. This is for those of you who have been shit on, and now you're like, oh God, I can't trust anybody. Or, like me, you just don't trust anybody. Here's sort of what I always have done, kind of in general, and I don't care what the situation is. I ask a million questions. When I decide I'm ready to get to know somebody, I become the nosiest person alive, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
I want to know what your favorite food is, which favorite
business. I still have those emails tucked away.
Oh, I still have them, too.
Still tucked away in my archives. And, oh my God.
I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know, because here's what's happening, okay?
These emails, if I had printed them out, it would
have
used reams of paper with all these questions that you wanted to
know. And he answered them. So what does it say about him? Just as crazy as me. but what I become, if I decide that the person is potentially worth the effort I'm about to go into, okay? First of all, I become the nosiest person alive. And it's not just because I'm nosy by nature, and I am. I totally love knowing stuff about other people. I'm looking for, like he said at the very beginning, I'm looking for consistency or inconsistency.
That really is, you know, it, and you know, in all this to build trust, it comes back.
It always
comes back to consistency.
It always comes back to it. So I was looking for, okay, did he answer that differently yesterday? Did he tell me that? And I mean, stupid stuff, y'all. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? I mean, stupid, stupid stuff. Then, of course, I have, and I do this with my vanilla friends a lot, especially when I was younger and, you know, mean girls kind of stuff. And girls are catty sometimes.
Wow.
Not the good way. And the other women listening know what I'm talking about. So I would share some information that I considered private, but that if it ever got out, I could live with it. Okay. I don't remember what that was for you. Probably just the fact that we were talking at all. The fact that he knew my real name and not my, you know, pen name, not my pseudonym. But that's another test I have. I'll throw out just the smallest little personal detail that I really don't want the whole world to know. But I'll know immediately where it came from if somebody finds out. So that's another test I have. I'm filled with tests. I'm so filled. I will also, and it's only in retrospect that I know that I do this. And I think a lot of us do this, especially if we've been hurt in the past. How many temper tantrums can I throw and your ass will still come back? Okay. How many times can I push somebody away and they still show up? And most people can't handle it. You test them one too many times and they're out the door. Now, I think there is such a thing as too many tests. I mean, you can go overboard. That's for sure. But he was always there. I would push back and say, this won't work. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I can't do this. And he would always show back up. He would not let me push him away, which told me that when he had every right to say, okay, bitch, you don't want me. I'll see you later. You know,
stubborn.
He was stubborn and I was freaking out. He kept coming back. He kept showing up. He would tell me, straight up, no, I'm not, you're not doing this, you're not pushing me away. And on a DS level, I mean, let's just, you know, a lot of that's just very human levels. On a DS level, that told me a lot about who he was.
And on the other hand, too, I think a few times I told you, I said, look, okay, you may not be interested in me, but what it boils down to is I want you to be happy, whether it's with me or somebody else.
He told me that a lot. He told me that. I mean, when we first met, the first like 3 or 4 months, I was seeing other people. And for me, that was new. I had never done the casual dating thing. He and I weren't actually dating. We kept sex completely out of it for the first few months. But I knew something was there. He knew something was there. We were both kind of freaking out. And I dated other guys locally, guys, you know, that could come to me easily or were in the area or whatever. I had, you know, fun times, fun vanilla times. But that was for me another test. I was comparing those men to what I had waiting for me, that even when I knew he knew I was going out for a dinner or whatever, he was still there. When I got home at night, if I shot him a quick text or an email, that was our time to talk and he was there. And now somebody's going to go, oh, really? She's seen other guys and he's just waiting around for her? Well, no, he had other stuff to do. But he knew something that I wasn't ready to admit yet, I think. And he meant it when he said he was going to be my friend no matter what, which I think in any long-term loving relationship, and really even the short-term DS play kind of stuff that people do, I think friendship should always come first. And if you can build your trust on a basis of friendship, then it kind of makes the rest of it a lot easier. So when we finally did get together, you know, there's the long distance stuff, and there's always trust of long distance stuff. I don't want to gloss over that, but we built, for us, we built our trust long distance. So that was not an issue.
No.
Not to me. The next round of dealing with trust, which I think will hit home for more listeners because it's not the newness of the relationship. It was the newness of being DS together in a physical space. Because I really think that even established couples, when you first get into DS, you have all your baggage from however long y'all been together before you got into DS. Right. Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. I listen to some of my married friends talk, and I'm like, I truly cannot imagine having all of those old memories of what you used to do and how you used to do it and flipping a switch like that. So I can imagine how hard that is. Yeah. But I think we all have trust issues when we first get into DS together. Absolutely. In a physical space. Absolutely.
And, you know, it's hard, you know, building, when you're building a relationship, meeting one-on-one to build that trust.
And that just takes time. That kind of trust, you're going to have to be patient. Yeah. I believe you'll know.
If you're already in a committed relationship and you're trying to do it, I think that's harder. And you know what? Kudos to you if you can do it.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
I think about my ex
and that's tough. You know, here's somebody, you know, and you've been with them and, you know, whatever your relationship is. And, you know, you want to bridge a gap and, you know.
And get over everything and move past or move on from everything that came before. I know. I think about my marriage and it would never have happened, ever.
You know, change is scary.
Yes.
Okay? It's scary. And, you know, it's not always bad, but it's scary.
So, when you're in a relationship and you're dealing with trust, it's a different kind of trust at that point. Because once you've committed to your relationship, you're not worried, hopefully, if they're cheating or if they're, you know, whatever. And you know, we've talked about red flags of what dominants do and even, you know, things that submissives get wrong. And you will know if you are in this relationship with a person and you do not trust them, okay? You might not want to admit it to yourself. You might not want to think about it too much because it's scary and it hurts, but you will know, okay? So once you're not in that situation, trust takes on a different meaning and a different level. And now, you know, whether you're in a loving, committed relationship or you're just a friendship and y'all top and bottom for one another because you know, got an itch to scratch and you're in the club or you're just, you know, want to fool around with floggers, I mean, there's the trust of our physical selves with one another.
Sure.
You know? I mean, I have to trust that when I, you know, bend over in front of him, that sound fun, that, you know, he's not going to purposefully hurt me in a way that is unsafe. You know, that's the, I mean, we all are familiar with that in BDSM.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
If you do any kind of pain play or sensation play, you have to trust that. Now, then there's mind fucks. I have to trust that you're... I have learned... Okay, so let's talk about trust and mind fucks. To all my submissive peeps out there, when your dominant goes into, ooh, let's fuck with their mind kind of mode, you can't trust anything they say. That's a different kind of level of mistrust. You know, that's not the deep... soul-crushing mistrust. That's the, oh, great, he's fucking with me now.
Or is he?
And I will say, you know what's funny? And I don't think I'm alone in this. Maybe I am. Somebody will tell me if I am. For all of my inability to trust, my unwillingness to trust, the moment I put my trust in somebody and I decide, okay, they have, you know, passed all the tests, won all the rounds. Oh my God, I made them work for 6 months and yes, now I trust them. Truly, 6 months. I trust him completely. He can tell me anything and I, with a wide-eyed stare, will go, okay, yes, daddy, uh-huh. The moon is made of green cheese. Okay, daddy, whatever you say. Which makes me an easy target for mindfuck. And I believe that as he's choking over here, I believe that in a good DS relationship, I think that happens to us more often than not. And I'm sure there's a baby girl element there too. Shout out to my other baby girls and baby boys. But I really think that once you've committed to your DS relationship, to where you go, here's my body, here's my mind, here we go, they're going to tell you something, and you're going to go, okay. So, he has it very easy. He can fuck with my mind very easily. He'll just give me a look, y'all. An eyebrow will go up, okay? He might be thinking, making a mental grocery list, y'all. Okay, so I'm making grocery list. A mental list for the wood store, okay? And he'll raise that eyebrow. Why? Because he knows my immediate reaction is going to be, what? What's wrong? Is everything okay? What do I need? Did I do something? What do you need? Are you okay? And I'll have that reaction, and then he will just do that chuckle. That Dom chuckle. Y'all know the chuckle.
Or raise the eyebrow and throw in a little grin.
Oh, God, then I think he's planning something. What are you planning? What are we doing? Is there something? What? What? You know, my back hurts, Daddy. We can't really do... That is my reaction, y'all. And he knows it. For any new Doms out there, it really does not take a lot of effort. If you've got a very willing, submissive... And willing implies a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. You've got a really willing, submissive... You really don't have to do much. It does not take much to get into our heads because you're already in there. We have trusted you enough to let you into our head. You're already in there. An eyebrow quirk and a half grin, and we're like, what? What? What's going on? Do I need to get naked? Is there a rope involved? What? What? And you know what? He's like, no, you're fine. You're too eager. Oh! The fact that y'all can mind fuck us and we still trust you later, that's a sign of love. I'm just telling. Or stupidity. One of the two. Because I have been mind fucked by some really good Doms. Not even like on a sexual level. Just mind fucked. And well, I still.
Mind fucked doesn't have to be sexual.
No, but I mean like you mind fucked me, but then you also fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
Master Michelle has mind fucked me.
Oh, yeah.
And she has not fucked me. You know what I mean? It's like that's a friendship.
Well, one
there.
Night we tag teamed you.
Oh, God. Yeah. And when Doms get together, submissives, throw your trust issues right back up front. Don't trust anything when the Doms get together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Says the Dom.
Yeah.
He's grinning. He's giving me that little grin. Yeah, he's wearing his... People would call it a fedora. It's really called a tribble? Trilby.
Trilby.
Tribble is from Star Trek.
Yes, thank you.
Is my geek showing? He's looking the part of the domly man. And he's giving me the look.
I was thinking about that time with at the Munch with Apollonia, too.
Oh, God, she started talking about how she's going to beat my ass, and she scared me so much, I needed to distract myself, and we're at a restaurant, okay, that's where munchies are typically held. She's talking about all these paddles she has, and she does have one that literally is the size of a man's 13 boot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the bottom of a boot. The sole of the boot. That's her paddle, okay? And she is 6'5", if she's a day, easily 250, 300 pounds, like, big woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about wielding some of her implements of ass destruction on my body.
And I'm egging this on.
Oh, and he's totally egging it on. And because I am trusting, my Dom is right there. I trust him completely. See, it is so easy. Once you have our trust Doms, you can get into our heads so easily. I was so nervous and needed to be distracted so badly. So that I didn't have to think about what they were talking about. I literally started organizing the jellies on the table. So all of the grape jellies were in a stack, and all of the strawberry jams were in a stack, and all of the orange marmalades were in a stack. And they talked about that for weeks. I was like, great, there I go, embarrassing the hell out of myself. All because when I have trust, I believe whatever you say, even when, though I know, my thinking mind knows when he gets that grin on his face, it is my mind he is fucking and not my body.
Mm-hmm.
I have gotten to say fuck a lot today, like legitimately say fuck a lot today. Fuck a lot. We probably should not record these at the end of our day as we have been doing because we get sort of punch drunk and silly.
Especially this, it's been a long week already.
It has been a long week. We're recording on Wednesday and it's been a long week. It's so wrong. So let me go back to that Instagram thing. Yeah. You would think...
Should have seen the look I gave her on that one.
You know, offended. He was offended that I was questioning Instagram. I think it proves that no matter how much trust you have in somebody else, when you have trust issues, whether it's just your nature, which is that's me, or whether you've been taught to have trust issues, they can and will sort of rear their ugly head at times you don't expect. And thankfully, cooler heads prevail. Thankfully, what helps is that he is consistent. Okay, so now I'm talking to anybody trying to earn the trust of anybody else. And that happens on both sides, y'all. Okay, subs have to earn the trust of their dominant. Here's the thing. No matter who or what you are, be who and what you are.
Right.
Be consistent. Okay, he would never sign up for new social media, whatever, and not at least mention it in passing. You know, we're not the type, he doesn't have all, okay, we do have each other's passwords, not because we asked for them, but because we trust each other enough that he logs into the bank,
I gave her a spreadsheet with every single freaking password that I have since the end of time.
That is also, I mean, that is a huge level of trust, and I honor and I respect the trust he has in me, but that is also practical. We are each other's emergency contacts. If something goes wrong,
God forbid anything were to happen to me, she could go in and erase all my accounts.
Right. Well, that's not really why you did it. Daddy's being a little jokester. It happened, this is sad, but it happened after his sister died, and everybody realized that as a single woman, nobody had access to hardly any of her stuff. Right. And he said, oh no, if that happens, you need to have access to everything. And so he gave it to me. I've not even looked at that spreadsheet, y'all. I keep forgetting it's there. On his deathbed, he better remind me or leave me a note. schedule an email to go out, something.
Erase the hard drive and don't forget about the phone.
Right, and here's how you get into the cell phone account so you can pay the bill. But that's another level of trust. We got to that point. He knows my password because I will make all of you computer people cringe. I basically use the same one or two passwords for everything. And so I know it's bad form. Once he needed to log, I wanted him to log into something for me. And so I just rattled off the password. And I'm like, okay, now you can get into my whole life, because some variation of that is my password for everything. And that was another level of trust. Right. But we do not ask each other for that information. I know there are some couples out there who say, well, give me your passwords. I want to be able to log into your stuff whenever I want. And I know that there are some dominants who want that kind of control, and submissives who are willing to give that kind of control. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking that at all.
If that's what you want for your relationship, right. Exactly. That's fine.
But as a way to prove trust, I don't consider that very healthy, okay? No. If you cannot trust that person without that information, then you cannot trust that person. And you have to figure out how you're going to deal with that. And there's no right answer, okay? Sometimes dealing with it means watching them and not trusting them until they earn that trust back. Sometimes it means you just don't completely ever trust them. And how you can do DS with somebody you don't completely trust, you're a better person than I am. You're not coming near me in a DS sense if you don't have my total trust. At least for that instance in our life, okay? I might not trust you with my bank account information, but I can trust you with my body, kind of thing. So however you deal with not having that trust, that's a personal decision, and I'm not qualified to tell you what to do. My instinct, because somebody's going to ask me, my instinct, if my trust got broken to the point that I thought I needed to have access to all of his stuff in order to monitor him, then we could not be DS until the trust was back. And most likely the trust would never come back, because that's my personality, okay? Not because that's the right answer. Because when you have walls that are 6 feet high and 6 feet thick and somebody penetrates them, if they violate that, violate and penetrate. Wow. All the innuendos.
It's getting hot in here.
Somebody needs to get laid, clearly. Somebody with two thumbs, right? And a girl with two thumbs right here. Anyway, lost my train of thought because of my own innuendos and dirty mind.
Did it to yourself. I didn't even have to.
I know. I fucked my own mind, you know? But if I'm that type of person, so if you penetrate those walls and I trust you, and then you breach that trust and you break that trust, those walls go up higher and thicker, and it becomes almost impossible to get back through. I am not saying that's the right way, y'all, okay? I know that's probably, some people would probably say it's unhealthy. I'm okay with that, okay? That doesn't bother me. But we understand how each other feels and how we think in our previous experiences, and we understand how those things have shaped us, and so we are very careful with one another's trust and confidence. My vanilla friends have laughed at me since I met Daddy, because I tell him everything. I love to tell this story. I've blogged about this story before because it baffled them. Okay. So,
oh, yes.
Right before. Bracelet.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was the bracelet. It was my bracelet with the purple stone in it.
That's right.
Oh, yes, I remember this. Okay. So, right a few months before we moved in together, I was still living my 400 and some odd miles apart from him. I would go to the gym every day at lunch, okay? And prior, like, the Valentine's before that, like, just a couple months before, he had given me, or maybe it was Christmas, I don't remember, but he'd given me this silver bracelet with a purple stone, and I loved it, and I would wear it every day, either that or a necklace he had given me the year or so before. Right. Mm-hmm. Because as long as I was wearing something he had given to me, I felt connected to him. But I would take those things off while I was working out because I didn't want to get sweat on them. I didn't want them to get dinged up, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I go to the gym. I come back. I'm sitting at my desk. Now, thankfully, the gym is like 10 minutes away from where I work. I'm sitting at my desk and something doesn't feel right. And I have a habit. When I wear jewelry, I play with it. And my hand went down to my wrist, and there's no bracelet. And I almost started hyperventilating, y'all. Oh, my God. So, you know, I calmed down, and I said, okay, self, what do? You know, is it in your purse? And I start looking any place it could have been. And then it dawned on me, oh, no, I know exactly where it is. It's in the changing room at the gym, and if nobody's stolen it, it's on the bench. I know exactly where it is because I remember where I took it off and put it. So I got lucky. I call the gym. The guy who answers, he says, let me go check. And, you know, they check the ladies' locker room. There it is. He says, I have it. It's at the front desk. You come by and get it whenever you can. I'm like, great. I'll be there the moment I get out of work. And at that point, it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. And, you know, 2 hours later, I'm going to get off work. I'm going to have my bracelet back. So I'm telling my coworkers, one of whom is my absolute best friend. And I'm saying, oh, my gosh, I am not telling John, because I can't call him daddy to them. I am not telling John this story until that bracelet is back in my possession, because that way I can say, oh, look, it happened, but I got it back, right? Because what if something had happened between 2:30 and 4:30, which is what time I got off work, and they lost it or something crazy happened, right? And so that would be a different story to have to tell. And they looked at me and they said, well, why are you going to tell him at all? You didn't actually lose it. You'll have it back. He doesn't need to know. Mm-hmm. And I was speechless. I was stunned, speechless, because I didn't even have a, like, what? And I finally just kind of cocked my head to the side and went, because I tell him everything. And then it was their turn to look at me like I had grown the second head. Like, what do you mean you tell him everything? I mean, I tell him everything. And I told him the story, and he did the baby girl, because I almost lost my bracelet, hello. But I told him, and had the gym not found it, you know, maybe somebody walked off with it, or maybe if it had gotten damaged in the process, I would have told him that too. I have a new story now I can tell, though. Much more recent. Okay, so several episodes ago, I talked about how I'm now on a weekly allowance, right? Mm-hmm. And there have been times, for expediency, I've gotten my own allowance out of the bank. I'm like, okay, daddy, I'm here at the grocery store. You want me to take, you know, my money out? And sometimes he says yes. Well, lately, after we had a conversation about how much it is a total turn on for him to hand me money. And I have not explored why that is, but it's total turn on. You know, we had this conversation, so he has made a point to make sure I get my allowance. And he will combine it with another errand, or he'll make the trip just to go get my allowance, okay, on the weekend when he doesn't have to be at work. So when he hands it to me, I am typically trying to sit somewhere and relax, and I don't want to go over, find my purse, put my money away. I put it somewhere safe, you know, and then I put it away later. Well, just a week ago, y'all, he tried to hand me my allowance, and I was running around. I said, no, I'm doing this right now. Can I get it from you in a little bit? He said, yeah, sure.
Right.
So he puts it in his front shirt pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. So later, I go out to the garage. He's doing his woodworking stuff and smoking a cigar, and life's good, and I hug him, and I'm all cheeky and baby girl and sassy, which always gets me in trouble.
Yep.
And I pull it out of his front pocket.
She snatched it out of my front pocket.
I very gently and ladylike... in a ladylike way, pulled it quietly and in a gentle manner from his shirt pocket.
She snatched that money out of my pocket and did a little pirouette out the door and in the house.
I did not, but I did after he went, really? Are you allowed to do that? Yes, you already offered it to me once. It is officially mine. I am just retrieving it. Thank you very much. I am being helpful, Daddy, making sure you don't have to do this again. Mm-hmm. I put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Okay? I put it in my pocket. Then I had to go run errands. Money's in my pocket. I'm not thinking about it. It's tight-ass pants. Money wasn't going anywhere. Okay, fine.
Fast forward.
24 hours later, I am paying out my children's allowance, not for my own. I pull their allowance separate. I'm paying out their allowance. I'm organized. I'm cleaning my wallet. And I'm going, where the hell is my money? Where the hell is my money? So I'm a smart girl. You put it in your pocket. I run to my pants. They're not there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I am almost in tears. It's not a lot of money, y'all, but we're not rich, so that's a lot of damn money. And I can't in good conscience say, I lost my money, Daddy, will you give me more? I wouldn't do it for my kids. I'm not going to ask him to do it for me. But I have to tell him because I have lost money, and I can't pretend I haven't lost money. And maybe he'll offer to give me more money. I'm not stupid. I mean, he might offer. I would never ask, but he might offer. That's a rule of thumb just in general for my submissive friends out there. You never know. So I go outside. He's in the garage again, smoking another cigar. Do you sense a habit here?
We're playing with wood.
Wood. So, tears. The moment I realize I have to tell him, I'm ready to cry. The moment I start trying to tell him, I'm sobbing.
She was crying.
Oh, my gosh. I've lost my money. I've lost my money. Now, to his credit, he did not start going off on me. Pro tip to Doms out there. If we come to confess something to you, I don't care how bad it is. I just murdered somebody in the kitchen. Don't yell at us first, okay?
Yeah, no.
So, he comforted me. He hugged me. And he actually started talking to me about it. And just having the conversation. He didn't say anything, genius or anything. But having the conversation, I went... pants. Was I wearing different pants than what I thought? And he said, yes, you changed your pants before you went to the store. Oh, and I didn't even let him finish his thought. I didn't finish my thought.
She was gone like a flash of lightning, and she was digging.
Bat out of hell,
y'all.
She
was digging through the laundry basket.
And I'm digging through the laundry basket, and I'm finding the pants I was actually wearing, and there's my money. Now, I would like to think that eventually I would have remembered, or just when I did laundry next, I'd have found the $20 bill, but I couldn't, and it was truly not a lot of money, y'all, but it doesn't matter. It was important. It was the principle. And I'll admit right here, because I did not tell him this, I wondered if I should say anything. I wondered for half a second, well, can I just not worry about it, and surely I'll find it. And then I thought, you can't do that. You tell each other everything. That's good or bad. That's something that will upset him or it will not. It doesn't, you don't pick and choose. If you say you're going to share everything, you don't pick and choose just because this thing you need to tell him makes you uncomfortable or might get you in trouble. I mean, I am not my 6-year-old, okay? My 6-year-old, when he doesn't want to tell me something he thinks will get him in trouble, he just tells me he doesn't remember, okay? Yeah. I'm above acting like a 6-year-old. I will face up. Yeah, I know, right? You should be very grateful for that. I will face up to the consequences so that I can keep my integrity, because that's what you have when you're able to instill trust in somebody else. When you inspire somebody to trust you, it's because you have shown that you have integrity. And the only way to keep their trust is to keep having integrity. And so I had to tell him this little thing that might have been solved an hour or 2 hours later once my mind calmed down and I could think about it or I went to go do laundry or whatever happened. I would have found it eventually. I know that. But at the time, it was eating me alive that it had even happened. Mm-hmm. And, I had to tell him. Some people out there, I know you're listening, you've been like, I wouldn't have told him. Okay, that's how you handle it. This is us, and when we tell each other that we say to each other, we tell each other everything, we really do mean that. And I mean, there is no mystery left. We know what each other does in the bathroom, y'all. I'm not going to go into that because nobody wants to know that.
No,
but
not even me.
Stop. But little ways to keep trust will pop up in your relationship forever, I think. I think any issues you have had, the bad tapes, Daddy calls them, I'd like to believe that there's going to come a time when that stops being an issue. But I know married people who remember shit that their spouse did 20 years ago. The bad tapes are there.
The bad tapes are there. But I think what makes the difference is if you acknowledge that they exist, okay, and when they rear their ugly heads, you understand them for what they are. Is it something that can go away overnight? No, but, you know, acknowledge that the bad tapes are there, and you know, over time, you can rewrite those tapes.
And let me give you an example, because I'm clearly willing, very, very willing to admit all of my flaws. Not that my daddy dom is not the most perfect dominant on the planet. He coined the term bad tapes not because of me, y'all, okay?
No.
So he was married for many, many years before he and I got together and are where we're at right now.
Right.
Contentious relationship. A lot of bad tapes in his head, constantly on repeat. And they rear their ugly head. Usually when he knows he wants to ask me to do something, not as a dominant to a submissive, although in my mind, all of our interactions are as a dominant to a submissive, but that's okay. When it's something he would have asked his ex-wife to do, and he knew immediately what her response was going to be, because her response, as bad as it was at least consistent. So he would not eventually, you know, I'm sure there came a point he just didn't ask her anymore, right?
Right.
So here I am, his willing, submissive baby girl, and he knows he has every right to ask me to do whatever it is he wants me to do, but he is remembering what it was like before me.
Right.
So his tone of voice, the expression on his face, the way he reacts if I don't immediately go, yes, daddy, let's do this now, and sometimes I don't. I'm not going to pretend I don't. Is to preempt that with sarcasm, or I won't say anger, but frustration. He has even gone so far as to say, well, I know you're not going to do this. And that's when, oh no, we take baby girl goes on back burner and bitchy submissive comes forward. And I go, whoa. I am not her. Okay, I have never been her, will never be her. Oh, by the way, I'm the best thing that's ever happened to you.
That's true.
You want that glass of iced tea, daddy? You can have it. whatever it is, go pick this up for me at the store, go take this outside, whatever. But he's got these experiences that mess with his head and mess with his trust, and he forgets. And we all have them.
And you have them too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Y'all, my ex-husband, if some of y'all aren't into astrology, probably a lot of you, and that's cool. My ex-husband was a Cancer. My oldest son shares a birthday with him. They're both Cancers. Cancers have very specific personality types. Daddy is a Cancer. I almost stopped talking to him the moment I found that out. Okay, you want to talk about bad tapes? Oh, no. If you were going to remind me of my ex-husband, I wanted nothing to do with him. I think because he had to work so hard to earn my trust to the point that he now has it completely. My bad tapes don't show up in our interactions the way his bad tapes do. Okay. I don't forget who I'm dealing with because the contrast, not that the contrast between me and his ex-wife aren't very stark and clear too, but between daddy and my ex-husband, we're talking. I mean, it's not even 9 days. It's not even the same stratosphere. It's not even the same galaxy, y'all. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You haven't met the man. The day will come and you'll go, okay. So I just, you know, when we talk about building trust, I don't ever want to minimize your previous experiences and the stuff playing in your head that you have to overcome.
Right. It's there. And, you know, after the time we've been together now, my bad tapes are becoming farther and fewer.
They're much quieter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I believe that I am the doting submissive. sassy, sometimes snarky, never bratty, baby girl.
Brassy.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But
combination of bratty and sassy.
As I have talked about before, I think on the blog, I don't think in episodes, but I think on the blog, I negotiated this into our relationship. I have a tough love clause.
Yes.
If he needs to hear the unvarnished truth, however harsh it may seem, I'm allowed, for his sake, mm-hmm. not just because I'm feeling bitchy, for his sake, I'm allowed to do that. Usually that's, you know, go to the doctor, you know, get some antibiotics, it's that kind of stuff. But when he forgets himself and acts as if he's talking to his ex or somebody else who came before me that is not me, I just look at him and in my very vanilla tone, there's nothing submissive about it, I promise you. I just look at him and go, I am not her.
Well, and
you know, it works.
It does. And, you know, she just doesn't do it out of the blue. She does tell me that she's invoking the tough.
I do. I give kind of a warning. Yeah. Maybe that's the submissive side of me. I don't know. But oh, yeah.
The tough love clause is being invoked.
The vanilla bitch that most of the vanilla world knows me as, she comes out. Because I, just like he wouldn't want my trust issues from the past to dictate how I treat him now after all mm-hmm. this time, after all the time we've spent earning each other's trust,
right.
I do not want to be treated as if he expects me to behave in a way I've never behaved, okay? I have worked very hard to earn his trust, to maintain his trust, to continue earning his trust. He works very hard to keep mine.
Right.
And sometimes we just need a reminder of that. And I don't think we are unique. I don't think this is a John Brownstone, Kayla Lords thing. I think this is a relationship thing.
It's something that
and it happens to all of us.
Right. It's not something that once you do it, it's done, it's over, and you close the book. It's something that throughout the relationship you continue working on.
It's just like your kink, y'all. We don't just stop learning kink because we got really good at spankings. There's always something new to learn.
I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details at this point, but you know, there are some things that we have discussed in our relationship that, you know, may change at some point and
are built because of the trust we have in one another. And if any of that changes and becomes more official and formal, we'll be talking about it, because that's like a huge relationship change. But the reason we can even have the conversation about some of those changes in our relationship is because we trust one another.
Right.
And I think we've said a lot about trust today.
Yeah. I trust that we've talked a good bit about trust.
Trust that we have. Let's recap
bad
real quick.
Bad puns with daddy.
Bad puns with daddy. Consistency.
Yes.
Integrity.
Yes.
Communication. It really, absolutely. I mean, we didn't say that specifically,
but it comes down to
communication and being willing to fess up when you screw up. That's for big
absolutely.
D or little S.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, I think, you know, an S would be, you know, an S is more likely to confess when they mess up.
Absolutely.
Okay. But you know what, guys or ladies, you know,
big D's.
Thank you. You know what? If you mess up, admit it. I mean, you know, let's face it. When it all comes out in the wash, we're all human. We make mistakes.
Absolutely.
Okay? You know, and you know, you admit your mistakes, you learn from it, you grow, and you move on.
Exactly. And what will happen, says the baby girl with trust issues, when it comes out, because everything eventually does, if it comes out because you didn't confess it, or you only confessed it because, you know, somebody else forced you to, or they would out you, or whatever the issue is, wherever you screwed up, and you chose not to confess it as soon as you could, you have just killed trust.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not fixable? No. I mean, it's possible that you can repair that trust and the concerns that will come with it, but there's a chance you won't. And if you really care about your partner, and if you are really committed to this relationship, you can't let that be what pulls you apart, okay?
Right.
I just, you know, the trust that goes on into a long, especially long-term DS relationship when you're into kink is more than just trusting each other with your body. You're trusting each other with your heart, your mind, your soul. Your emotions, your past, your present, your future, everything.
Yeah.
And it's just too important to take lightly. And I think that is ultimately part of what I wanted us to talk about today, but also just to remind you that they pop up at the weirdest times and over the weirdest things, and sometimes it's an Instagram thing that makes your head whip around and gives you whiplash because you have a very poor memory. So, with all of that,
see,
being
I always
said,
thought I was the one here with old timer.
You don't even know what it's called. Ow! That was kind of good pain. It was a thud. Okay. I think we have now had the longest episode ever. And
yes.
If you are actually still with us to the end,
wow.
We are so sorry. Tora, I hope you made it to work on time today.
Right.
So we are done.
I want to leave a little early.
Right. Something. It's too late now. We're at the last part of our show. She's already figured out we have talked for way too damn long. But we're glad you joined us this week.
Yes.
If we say it a lot and we really mean it, if you have questions or issues or just stuff you kind of want to discuss, you can always reach out to either one of us.
Absolutely.
We are available on every social media platform we're on. You can, contact us. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got topic suggestions, you're like, ooh, could you talk more about bleh? Be specific with your blah, but you can email us or contact us and say, hey, I'd really love a show on this. I have questions about this or whatever. And we will do that too. Okay. So that's it for us. Longest show ever.
Yeah.
Episode 31 is the longest one ever. And we're done. We're out. I promise we'll stop talking. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week.